You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
When it comes to Christian faith and life, the ABCs, the basics, are crucial. Jesus himself pointed that out one day when he arrived in the area of Caesarea Philippi. He put the question to his disciples, "Who do people say is the Son of Man?" He received a variety of answers. Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" As was his custom, Simon Peter answered first, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon Peter always had a way of hitting the nail right on the head, or missing the mark entirely. In this case, he stated in one short sentence the ABC of all Christian truth. With this understanding that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, everything falls into place. Without this understanding, everything else is bound to be off the mark. Like the other apostles, Simon Peter was labeled as unlettered by the religious authorities with whom he had to deal later on. Even those authorities were amazed by the fact that this man, without the equivalent of a college education and without any desire to be known as a highbrow intellectual, would be so acquainted with the facts of the faith as he proved himself to be. Peter was certainly not biblically illiterate, as are so many people in the modern world. They seem to know practically everything, and at the same time are almost proud of the fact that they are biblically illiterate. The Bible may be all right for some other simple people, but it's not for them. They don't know anything about the Bible, and they don't want to know anything about the Bible. They can read almost anything, but they don't read or even want to hear about the Word of God. At the other end of the spectrum are those religious dilettantes who always think of themselves as experts, constantly bringing up the XYZs of comparative religion, while they have never bothered to examine the ABCs, the basic fundamentals that underlie all faith in God, with the promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation, by faith in the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. Then there are those who proclaim themselves as Christians, but evidently do not know the ABCs of their own faith. Often they're so interested in the byproducts of faith in Christ that they've lightly skipped over the product which God himself produced in human history through Jesus Christ. Up around Caesarea Philippi, Jesus posed this question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" The disciples had experienced already some of the ideas that were floating around. Some say John the Baptist. Others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. John had been a notable preacher, and thousands flocked out to hear him. Elijah is the one for whom the empty chair has always been provided in celebration of the Passover, just in the event that he might appear. Jeremiah ran counter to all the conventional wisdom of his time, urging a more intelligent approach to the invader who would eventually overwhelm them. By this time, all these prophets had acquired status. They were in good standing, religiously speaking, even though in their own time they were subjected to public humiliation and even the threats of death, which in the case of John turned out to be the real article. At this point, Jesus asked the disciples a crucial question, which forms the basis of all Christian truth. "But who do you say that I am?" That question confronts you today. Personally, it requires a personal answer, not dependent upon what someone else might say or think. Simon Peter went right to the heart of the matter in a most personal way. "You are the Christ, the Messiah whom God promised to send, the Son of the living God." That is where everything Christian starts, with Jesus Christ. Without Christ, nothing. With Christ, everything. When you get off that track, you lose your way immediately. To recognize Jesus as a great teacher, maybe the greatest of all time, or as the most notable martyr to a cause in the whole course of human history, just that, nothing more, you've probably lost your way already. Acknowledging him to be the promised Messiah and the Son of the living God, you are on your way. There's more to be learned on that road as you go, but you're on your way to forgiveness that Christ gives in fulfillment of the promise he makes to all who love him. It's the ABC of knowledge and also of peace that passes understanding. A few years ago, a national publication which has the largest circulation in the United States stated flatly, 27 million American adults are functionally illiterate, and 45 million more only marginally literate. The number of adult problem readers is increasing by 2.3 million each year. At this rate, says Rudolf Flesch, an expert on reading reform, we'll soon join the ranks of the most uneducated nations in the world. That's from the Reader's Digest. The people most affected by the problems of illiteracy, says another article in Reader's Digest, are adults who cannot read or write and hide behind the curtain of fear and embarrassment. Occasionally, a news item lifts the curtain to reveal a shocking truth. In Chicago, a worker destroys a herd of cattle because he can't read the word poison on a bag he thinks is feed. In Syracuse, New York, a child is rushed to a hospital after her mother, who cannot read, mistakes a pink dishwashing soap for a liquid antacid. A Navy seaman ruins $250,000 worth of equipment because he couldn't read the instructional manual. People are able to write their own names, cannot read street signs, look up a telephone number, or fill out a job application. They have the same trouble with directions on a medicine label or in counting change. They're lost souls in a society where the ability to read is becoming more crucial every year. World culture depends to a great extent on the ability to read. The culture of faith depends in the same way, not only on the ability to read, but also on the willingness to do so. This unlettered fisherman was not an ignoramus. To the amazement of everyone around, Peter quoted generously from the scriptures of the Old Testament in the first sermon he delivered on that first Christian Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago. The scriptures are current today in almost 1,900 languages throughout the world. They always tell the same story, and it is always about Jesus Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The availability of the scriptures in the many languages that have come down to us through the years in those languages are practically meaningless to millions of people who can read, but are obdurate in their refusal to read. Some of them are church people who won't take the time to read. The Bible's like walking. People know that walking is good for you, but most people don't do it. They think that Bible reading is a good idea, but simply lack the inclination to do it. The result is that though people may attend church with some regularity, they're unable to explain, defend, or share their faith in ordinary words which other people can understand. Of the church people one pastor has had personal contact with, at least one-third cannot tell clearly how to become right with God. They say things like, "I believe in God. I pray. I go to church. I try to live a decent life. Hopefully God will accept me." One word even many church people hesitate to use outside the church service is the name, Jesus. You cannot read even one page of the New Testament without coming across the name, Jesus. "He is the one," said St. Peter, "the one God sent, the unique and eternal Son of the living God, sent in all his humanity by God himself to be the Messiah, the world's Savior." Of Jesus, Simon Peter said in his first sermon at the festival of Pentecost, "Listen to these words. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified for sinful people, but God raised him from the dead, setting him free from the power of death. God has raised this very Jesus from death, and we are all witnesses of this fact. He has been raised to the right side of God, his Father, and received from him the Holy Spirit. What Peter said has become the basis for all the Christian creeds by which people have confessed their faith down through the centuries. The apostolic word is the subject of all truly Christian preaching and also of every bit of Christian teaching. I say it to you today, as St. Peter said it on that wonderful day in Caesarea Philippi. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is our witness to you today, as Peter's original words are his witness to the whole world of every time. What happened when Simon Peter talked to all those people that Pentecost day about Jesus, crucified and risen again? Reporting in the book of Acts on what did happen that day, St. Luke described their reaction. These people were deeply troubled and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brothers?" Peter said to them, "Each one of you must turn away from his sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven." There you have some of the basics: repentance, confession, forgiveness, baptism. Peter went on, "You will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit." Another basic. A couple of verses later on, we read, "Many of them believed his message and were baptized." And about 3,000 people were added to that group that day. They spent their time in learning from the apostles. What about all these basics? They're fundamental to Christian faith and also to Christian life. There's good reason to be concerned about people who call themselves Christians, but who know very little about God, about the Bible, about the faith Christians profess, and about the lives Christians are expected to lead. After all these years on the radio, I'm concerned about people who say, "It really doesn't matter what we believe, for we all believe in the same God, right?" Wrong. It does matter what you believe. Sometimes people who say they believe in God don't really believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's fundamental. That's where it's at. I'm concerned about people who call themselves Christians and still think they're saved by being good, that somehow they can get on the good side of God and win his favor. That's not the way, according to the Bible. God is the one who reaches down to save people and is not particularly impressed with the virtues of which they are so proud and the piety they so often parade, as if they were going to be saved by their virtues and their piety. You will be saved, my friend, by what God does for you and not by what you do for God. Salvation comes to people by faith in God and in the one he has sent, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The story is there for all to read, proclaimed from week to week throughout the world. It goes out over the airwaves, sometimes turning the hearts of people who have never heard it any other way. Still, it's always the Word of God, and it's always about Jesus Christ, that his sacrifice for the sins of the world may not go unrecognized. His power may not be unrealized. His grace may not be unappreciated in the midst of an illiteracy that threatens to engulf the world with its own ignorance and aimlessness. You will not be saved, my friend, by mindless talk of things like reincarnation or astrology, and you will not be protected from the wild slings of fortune by carrying a good luck charm around with you. You'll be saved by the straightforward act of God, made clear for all the world to see and to hear and to read for itself in the person of Jesus Christ. He came to live and die for the sins of people who are not able to save themselves, and was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. The focus of that faith does not die. It is fulfilled in the fact of eternal life, which is also the gift of the mighty God. The living God in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, speaks on this wise: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Or in the words of St. Paul, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." That's God speaking to you in Jesus Christ, as he always speaks. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. When everything else goes, that remains. Jesus commanded people to talk to God on this wise. Our Father in heaven, forgive us our sins as we forgive other people who have sinned against us. Keep us out of trouble, because you are everything and everything is yours forever and ever. A little third grader named Carla wrote those words. She put the prayer in her own language, the words that the Lord Jesus has given us all to pray. Jesus often used the word amen. His amen to Peter was, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood did not disclose it to you, but our Father who is in heaven." Everything comes from God, including life and salvation that can truly be called eternal. It's good that it comes this way. We would never be able to get it on our own. Even your faith in God is a gift from him, along with the love that follows upon faith, born at the foot of Christ's cross, which demonstrates once and for all that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Little Carla explained even the amen in her own way. She said it meant, "You can say that again. Yes, you can, with the assurance that it's all true and always will be true." That's the way it is, and that's the way it will be. For anyone who knows his ABCs, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So be it, for you and for me. So be it. You can say that again. Amen.